Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. We got much to be grateful for. We have entered a new era, a new world. It's changing rapidly. For many people, it'll be very difficult to catch up. But only if you're in the spirit can you see reality. What reality? The true reality. See, there's only one true reality, but there's multiple levels of that true reality. But I'm not here to talk about the true reality today. But just to refresh you on it. You know, so many times we drift back into the old reality. Because it used to be a place of comfort. Even though it was difficult, crazy, painful. But yet it's like a person that's an abused woman or a man or that's in a relationship. They go back to that same relationship even though they're being abused because they believe that there's no other way. And what God is doing right now is really expanding humanity's, I want to say, imagination so that they can come into that place to see that there's another reality. There's a true reality. You know, when I was addicted in the world, I lived in another reality. Hello. And certain things can bring you in that other reality, in another reality, but the true one. Sicknesses and diseases can draw you out of the true reality and into a false reality. And then you begin to depend on the doctors and everyone else. And I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. Amen. But we're to be so dependent on Christ. That's why we were born again. Remember, we're not of this world. But so many times we get sucked back right into it so quickly. So easily, so quickly. When things come across our path, offenses or rejections or things don't go your way or disappointments, people begin to drift into the old reality. When they've been hurt or harmed or even accidents and things, you know, things, anything, what we call all of the ordinary, but it's actually ordinary. People drift and fall back or they lose sight. So there's an area where you and I, we must maintain not only a thirst and hunger for the Lord, amen, but we must maintain a place where there's an inner cry, a constant inner cry to want to know who he is, to want to know him more, to want to know who you are, to want to know the true reality of eternity. There must be an inner cry more and more and more every day. And now we drift from that, but then we must return to it all the time. Because we get busy with work and things and so, but we still carry the inner cry. Before we got saved, we cried. We cried out, help me. Oh, help me. I believed in a God, but I didn't know who he was. I drowned myself in cocaine and drugs and everything else and cried out, help me, help me. But there was an inner cry. And in that inner cry got answered. And boy, I never cried so hard in my life. I thought I was going to die from that inner cry. But that inner cry is something that God looks for. He looks for it in his children. It's like the flame that was once burning like crazy, then begins to diminish. And you know, we live in a world that's hard pressed. We're being bombarded constantly. We're busy with things. We're very busy with things. We're out to fulfill ourselves. We drift from God's fulfillment into our own fulfillments. But I really believe that the Lord is just trying to remind us and awaken us to be returned and restored that inner cry. Oh, we so need it. You can't deny yourself without an inner cry. You can speak that scripture all day long, but it won't happen until you got an inner cry in you. An inner cry is for more of Him and less of you. Amen? Woo! Psalm 28. I think we all started crying already. Psalm 28. Is everybody there? Starting at verse 1. Glory to God. Let's speak it. To you I will cry, O Lord, my rock. Do not be silent to me, lest if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry out to you, when I lift my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve, because they do not regard the works of the Lord. Why? Because there is no cry in them, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he's the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them, also bear them up forever and ever. There is an inner cry. There is an example of an inner cry. Psalm 5, verse 1. Hallelujah. You know, I woke up this morning with a very heavy heart, and I didn't know why. My wife kept saying, "What's wrong?" I said, "I don't know." She says, "Well, you'll tell me later." She always thinks I know why things are whatever. I don't. But there was an inner cry in me. I wanted to just weep today, and I didn't know what for. But there's things going on that we don't know about. It's also known as the inner groaning. The groanings that we cry, they're not uttered because they can't be understood. But there's an inner cry with right now in the body of Christ. Then those who are truly seeking God, there is an inner cry establishing and getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And that inner cry has got nothing to do with guilt or condemnation. It's got nothing to do with what you've done or didn't do. It's an inner cry that God is saying, come closer. Come closer. Come closer. And that's what he's calling us. That's why there's an inner cry that's increasing. Come closer. You know, sometimes we just don't know how to get any closer, you know. And it's not about how much you worship, but that helps. It's about the area that you know that there's an inner cry in you that wants to know him more. Wants to know him more. There is an inner cry within us knowing that We've let go of that inner cry. And we want it to be restored. So let's just say it right now. Lord, restore in each and every one of us that inner cry to know you more. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Let's speak it. Psalm 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you, and I will look up. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloody, thirsty, and the deceitful man. Yes, he does. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship you toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. There's a morning cry. There's that morning cry every morning. There's a simple start. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Father. Good morning, Jesus. Please help me pray. And as you get going and you pray in the Spirit and so forth, then all of a sudden that cry kicks in. Because there is a desire to not only want to know him, but to fulfill his purpose. See, his purpose cannot be fulfilled without me and you. Does everybody get it? And when we lose sight and fall back and fall out of position, the cry within us is because the cry of pain that says, I'm not fulfilling my Father's purpose. And that cry is there. And many who backslide go into that place. There is an inner cry. And sometimes they don't even know it yet. But the Holy Spirit eventually reveals it. Psalm 34, verse 15. Hallelujah. Psalm 34, 15. Thank you, Lord. Anybody there yet? Psalm 34, 15. Let's speak it together. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them of the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. Why? Because they have an inner cry. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He guards all of his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. The cry. The cry. It's that inner cry. When? It's a cry sometimes we cry when. It's an inner cry of when, Papa? When? When? You know, the Israelites cried for 400 years. When? And they stayed in slavery. But they brought it on themselves, didn't they? Hallelujah. Most of our cries are because of self-inflicted already. Things that we sowed that we're reaping. But then there's that cry to Daddy. And he says, I've not forsaken you. I'm still here with you. And I'll carry you through your reaping. Because he uses the reaping for our training. Amen. He uses the reaping for people who have had hardened hearts and now have compassion ones. John chapter 3, verse 1. Hallelujah. John chapter 3, verse 1. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Everybody there? Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these things like you do unless God is with him. Well, that's a pretty amazing confession. So unfortunately, they still didn't believe him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Democrats think you can. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said this to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen and do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how you believe if I tell you what? Heavenly things. Wow. Again, these are things where you and I must come to that place where that inner cry cries out to God to know more of heavenly things. More of heavenly things. You know, John the Baptist was one that was known as one who cries in the wilderness. You know, and what was he crying for? He was crying. His cry was a yell. It was a cry for help, for attendance, for attraction to get people drawn. He was a cry of warning. And that inner cry with me and you is a cry of desire to want to know more of him, but also to warn. We have a cry of warning people. We have a cry of warning humanity of what's getting ready to happen because we don't want people to miss it. Hallelujah. Now, John the Baptist was the cry in the wilderness to prepare for the coming of the Lord. And we have a cry right now that's preparing to coming from the Lord, cutting of the old into the new. Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 12, please. 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are what? Debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. That's us. For you did not receive the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, what? Abba, Father, which is Daddy. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be what? Glorified together. We cry out, Father, Papa, Daddy. Because we belong to an eternal family now. And in this eternal family, we have a Father. He's not only Father, he's my father, my mother, my brother, my sister, he's my everything. You can go to him in any way. He doesn't turn his back. He's there, always willing to accept us and receive us. Not looking at what we've done wrong. Amen. But promoting what we've done right. That's the kind of dad he is. Good job here. Well, we ain't got to talk about that other stuff right now. I'll take care of that. You just keep looking at the things that are righteous and good. Now I'll take care of all the nasty stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. That's powerful, isn't it? He didn't say you're an epistle. He said you're an epistle. Amen. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the what? Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. Of the heart. How powerful. Let's go on. And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, that is pretty wild. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? Somebody agree? I'm glad. Now, we are flesh who became the Word. Amen? Because there was an exchange made. Nothing you did or I did. All what he did. The Word became flesh. Now the flesh becomes Word by the inner cry of desire to know him more. So everybody got it? Colossians chapter 3. Oh, happy days. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Glory, glory. Can we speak it together, please? Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies and kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do so. But above all these things, put on love, which is a bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be what? Thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Hallelujah. The word dwells in us richly. There's a word, his word dwells in us richly. And it's so rich and so pure. that the desire of cry is constant. We want to see the word fulfilled. We want to see the word completed. We want to see the word manifested in this world so others can see it. Amen? You know, one of the cries many people have is disappointments. They have a cry of disappointment, but we got to turn that around. When you're disappointed, that's because you got to speak, Lord, you're my fulfillment. You're disappointed because you didn't get fulfilled on something. Amen? So we've got to be careful. I mean, there is an area where we've got to begin to desire and to cry, to want to know the true reality and expose the true reality in every circumstance, to expose it, to look for it, to dig for it, to uncover it. That should be a cry in our hearts. I want to know the truth. I want to know what the truth is. And that's how my walk began with God. I just wanted to know the truth. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? What is the truth? And when he showed up, everything got answered. Because I met the truth. And the truth is a person. The truth is love. And the truth is the one who created us in truth and in spirit. And he is with us. 2 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Glory. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Are you there? Let's speak it. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now that is powerful. What is the knowledge? His word. Amen. But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Words of promise through the inner cry bring divine nature of Christ in you. These are his covenant promises to me and you. That's why he says through the knowledge, which is his word. There is an inner cry. And what we're actually doing is we're making an exchange for us for him. Psalm 37, verse 3. Psalm 37, verse 3. Hallelujah. We there? Let's pray it. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his what? Faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, are you going to get that if you haven't got true desire, a cry for him? No. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall what? Inherit. So we're going to watch the evildoers be cut off. They will be cut off. They will go underground. And they will return again. Listen, I'm going to be straight up front, man. The Democratic Party is a satanic party. They are servants of Satan. And some of them have infiltrated the Republican Party and other parties and libertarian parties. But they are a satanic ritual regime. And those who have been taken captive in their blindness will be judged right along with them. And they will be wiped away, moved away, because they will go underground. They will hide and they'll be come up another place with another name. It won't be the Democratic Party. It'll be some other kind of organization. But it'll be the same play. It'll be the same agenda. It'll be the same scam. Hold on to that. Verse 10. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just, and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bow shall be what? Broken. We are going to see this. Again, they will eventually disappear. It's dismantling right now. That's why I call it the Democratic Party. Because that's what it is. It's Democrats. Hallelujah. Psalm 24. Verse 3. Psalm 24, verse 3. Let's speak it. Now, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Who seek your face. Those are seekers. Amen. Seekers always have an inner cry. True seekers have an inner cry. And I'm going to close at Psalm 16, verse 7. Glory. Verse 7, let's speak it. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructed me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You shall show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. For it is written, for it is spoken, and so shall it be, setting the Lord before you. Listen, if you don't have an inner cry, you never set the Lord before you. Amen. So, Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that you seal your word, your seed today, with the anointing that it grows and bears fruit for your glory. And prepare our hearts for communion today as we are grateful for everything that you have done and what you're getting ready to do in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.